So in this episode today, we're talking to Michael Bond. He's a headmaster at school. Let's jump into it right now.
Welcome to the Brentwood School Podcast, the place where we talk to parents, staff and pupils to find out more about life within the school. This is the place to keep up to date and in touch with our community. So let's not waste any more time, but instead come with us as we get into this episode right now.
Michael, thank you for being here on this episode of the podcast. How are you today?
I'm very well, Simon. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you here. We're recording this on a Thursday lunchtime, roughly. How do Thursdays normally look for you? And what's on the menu for lunch today?
I don't know. It's always a nice surprise. I know. All I know is that Friday is always fish and chip day. But Thursdays, I'm not sure, but I'm very much looking forward to my lunch. The food here is fantastic. So we're very well catered for. A bit too well sometimes when I look at my waistline. But we're very, very good. So a typical Thursday. Actually, it's been a rather atypical Thursday today because next Monday is the acceptance deadline for our 11 plus places. So we've actually had a big event in school this morning with prospective parents. So it's been really nice to meet lots of new people. We've had a range of different stalls, a sort of fair arrangement. We've had our well-being dogs on duty. So it's been a really nice morning, actually. So, yeah, nice to be with you.
And what are the main kind of questions or concerns even that prospective parents tend to have?
Well, I set out a sort of short presentation to them first thing this morning. And, I guess globally, holistically, it's a big investment. It's a big investment of their time, of their energy, of their money in terms of their fees. And it's one of the biggest decisions they'll make, you know, where to place their sons and daughters for their senior school. I think we all remember, I think, our own transition from primary to senior. And it's a big moment in a young person's life, especially for parents for whom this is their eldest child or only child and they've not been through it. So I guess their sort of broad questions are all have the sort of common denominator of, you know, is this the school that I get an instinctive feel for, that I want to trust with the next 5 or 7 years of my precious possession, you know, my youngster's education and formative years, really. So all of the questions really stem from that. And I guess, you know, our answers are, for Brentwood, are to do with the sort of really positive paradox of the fact that we're a very big school, which means that we've got the facilities and the breadth of curriculum and co-curricular program on offer that we can provide. But also we work hard to feel like a small school, which I'm sure we'll touch on in terms of the boarding in a moment. But in terms of that sense of community and also communities within our community, of which boarding is definitely one. So we're trying to get that across to parents, that we've got all the benefits of a big, big school and our campus. You know, a lot of parents comment that it looked more like a university campus than a school campus because we are very blessed with open space and facilities, despite being 20 minutes from London. But we work really hard to feel like a small school in terms of key people knowing, valuing and caring for their children.
And I imagine as well that there's a lot of information parents can find out from the website, but they can't really get a feel for the school until they actually step into it, can they?
Absolutely. And we were really keen to have them here this morning. I mean, most of them have been here several times already. This was the sort of the final opportunity to come and ask any remaining questions. But we always, for open days and for this kind of event, we always make sure that we've got a lot of our students who are currently here there because, you know, children tell it how it is and we want them to tell it how it is. And they are, quite frankly, the best adverts for our school because they're fantastic.
I always smile whenever parents hear from children who are answering questions, and clearly the teaching staff, the senior leadership team in the school, they've got no direct control over what the children are saying. And sometimes they may well say things and the teaching staff are even wincing a little bit, thinking, oh, no, is that going to sound right? But of course, it's all coming from the heart. And, you know, parents understand that children don't have a filter as such, do they, when they're talking? So what they're hearing really is, you know, an authentic version. I'm not saying, of course, that the staff would give an inauthentic version, but it's always interesting whenever children are speaking that it's coming straight from the heart, isn't it?
Absolutely. You use the word authentic, and we talk a lot about authenticity and how important it is in our community, and I really do believe that. And we want our children to tell it how they see it, and it's fine if they say things that we're surprised by or whatever, because they're telling it as they see it. And you know, they're great and they do a fantastic job, and we're a real community. We are an authentic community. We're, you know, if any school or a headmaster says that their school is perfect, then they're lying, because no one is, because we're humans. We have a lot of amazing things that go on here, and sometimes we make mistakes because we're human, and we should be open about that. And as long as our young people and we ourselves learn from them when we do, then that's all part of the education process.
Now, we're here to talk about boarding, amongst a few other things, of course, but I understand you've got some exciting news to tell us about the future of boarding. But before we talk about that, just tell us a little bit about the school and what the current boarding offering is like as well.
So boarding has been part of Brentwood School for a long, long time, and it's at the moment small in number, but large in impact and importance, I would say. So we have about between 60 and 70 boarders at the moment, one boys and one girls boarding house. And one of the reasons it's so important to us is because it's a real sort of League of Nations. We have over 25 different nationalities represented in our boarding house. Wow. And I'm sure you're going to ask about, you know, the benefits of boarding and so on further on in the podcast, but that in and of itself is wonderful, because they get to experience a really fantastic British education, and we get to experience a snippet of the culture and values of 25 different countries, and they bring a real international dimension to our community, which I think is hugely important, because we live in a globalized world.
And those 25 countries that you mentioned, do they tend to be largely European countries or further afield, Far East, places like that?
It's a real mix. It really is. We have students from Europe, from Spain, from France, from Italy, from Bosnia, from Cyprus, Hungary. But we've also got students from further afield, from Nigeria. We've got a student from Israel. We've got Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. We've got China, Hong Kong, America, a few students from America. So it really is global. We have got a South American. We've got a Brazilian student. So I think we've got pretty much every continent covered.
And of course, when you talk about countries like you mentioned about Russia and Ukraine, we hear a lot about those countries in the news. And without wanting to get even slightly political here right now, I imagine that children just get on just with children from different countries, and none of those barriers seem to exist like the media portrays them to.
I couldn't agree more. The world's a complicated place, and our job is to prepare young people for a complicated world. But sometimes it's really not. Sometimes, when you have young people living cheek by jowl with each other, who come from countries that at the moment are at war with each other, it's quite revealing, actually, the fact that they just get on with each other and they understand that the situation at home is very difficult. But we, honestly, I can say, we have had really positive dialogue with students from those countries, and they get on with each other here, and I think they're delighted to be here, to be honest, in terms of how difficult things are at home, and we're delighted to have them.
No, I'm sure. So, Michael, tell me then about, you've touched on some of the benefits of boarding for the school, benefits of boarding for the children who are coming in, but just let's talk about that a little bit more. What are some of the other benefits that you see, both for people who are here in the UK and some of the students that have come from other countries?
So I used to run a boarding house. My wife and I used to run a boarding house in a different school, and it was probably one of the most formative jobs we've ever had, because I think boarding, inevitably, the young people are living and studying with us. So they're with us all the time, which means that we get to know them incredibly well. And I think they get the benefit from that, because their teachers and their boarding house parents and their tutors really do get to know them very well. They also have the benefit of, I use this word a lot when I talk about Brentwood, of community. And I mentioned earlier on in the podcast that we are a fantastic large community, but within that we've also got lots of sub communities, and our boarding community is like a big family, and that's one of the benefits of not having 500 boarders. We have between 60 and 70, and with the project that we'll come on to talk about, it will increase, but not to that number. And our USP, if you like, has always been the sort of home from home, that family feel, that community within a community. And I think our boarders have a fantastic, well, I know they do, they have a fantastic time because they are treated like one big family, and they get to know each other very, very well, as well as us getting to know them. And of course, on a pragmatic note, I mentioned earlier, our campus is fantastic, our facilities are fantastic, and there's so much goes on here that living on site means they get maximum benefit because they haven't got a commute home. You know, their commute home is to walk around the campus to the boarding house.
Of course,
so they've
got
all that time to do all of their work and all of the clubs and activities, and then they've still got time to socialise with their friends, do their prep, go to the gym or the swimming pool afterwards, and they get the benefits of all that as well.
It sounds beautiful. It really does. It really does. And how many of the boarders tend to study the IB diploma, the International Baccalaureate?
So it's very popular with our boarders, largely because it's well known in some of the countries from which they come. So I would say probably about half our boarders would be studying the IB. I say it's not exclusively. We also have A-level and BTECs in our sixth form, but it's a very popular, as a proportion of our boarders, it's probably the most popular course. And I think it does reflect that international outlook, and in a way that our boarders are self-selecting in that they are students who want to come and study in a different country, and therefore they have that international outlook that the IB espouses. And it's a fantastic course, not just for boarders, but for UK-based students as well.
And then for those of us who've never been into the school or into a boarding house, tell us a little bit about the current boarding arrangements at the school and what the day-to-day life looks like in the boys' house and in the girls' house.
Yeah, so it very much, both houses, structurally, architecturally, should I say, they're very different. But in terms of ethos, they're very similar. So they are both run as a family unit, really, and if you walked into the house, you would feel that it's a comfortable home from home for these students, and that's very important to us. So each house has house parents, and they are effectively pseudo surrogate parents for the students whilst they're here. And we also have a team of tutors who come in and do various slots of supervision overnight and in the evenings. So a typical day, students will get up. They don't have to get up super early because they haven't got to commute to school, but they'll come in for breakfast into the dining hall around 8 o'clock, have their breakfast with each other, which again is a nice sort of way to start the day, head off to lessons, then they'll be in school all day, and then when lessons finish at 4 o'clock, they'll be back to the boarding house, and they'll either be doing clubs and activities in school, or they will be relaxing. Then they'll do their prep, have their supper, and then they'll have free time to play games, to go to the sports centre, which is open on an evening, or just to socialise with their friends.
So then tell us about what's coming up in the near future. I understand that building work has started. You've got a new purpose-built, state-of-the-art boarding house coming. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're very excited about this project. So we are building exactly what you just said, new boarding house, which will have capacity for 120 boarders, boys and girls, obviously in separate wings. But it will be a wonderful building. All of those bedrooms will be single bedrooms en suite, which is very exciting. We're not aware of many, if any, boarding houses where every room is single and en suite. So that's a bit of a USP for us.
Michael, jumping in for a second, you mentioned earlier that the school's got a university feel. Having en suite bathrooms with the bedrooms in the boarding house, that's very much like a university. Did I hear that right?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And so that was something we wanted to do that was different, because I guess the other element of our USP is that we want to do boarding differently, if you like. You know, we're not a school where the majority of pupils are boarders, but as I said from the top, it's always been an important part of our school, and that this is a symbol of that. And so we wanted to do boarding differently, and that's a big feature of that. And then within that building, there is a cafe/restaurant, so the boarders will have their breakfast and their supper in that building. But then during the school day, that will become a cafe for our sixth formers
to use. Okay.
So that'll be open from 8:30 to 4 o'clock for use by sixth formers and colleagues. So if they want to go for a coffee and do some work in the cafe, then they can go and do that, get a sandwich or a panini. They can do that. And that's part of our sort of preparation of our sixth formers for that transition to whatever it is they go on to do next.
So just to be clear then, this isn't one of the girls' houses being renovated or one of the boys' being renovated, but this is a completely new build, is that right?
Completely new build, new site, new building, everything is brand new. And we're up to the second or third floor as a sort of shell at the moment, so it's starting to become very real. So we're really excited about it.
I'll bet you are. And I'm smiling even when you're talking about this, and I can't actually see it myself, but I'm just picturing this thing going up and what it must feel like for all of you. I mean, not just yourself, but for all of the staff, for the current pupils at school, to see this going up and every day just a little bit more is added to it.
It's really exciting. And as you would expect, we've got an artist's impression plastered over the hoardings of what it's going to look like. And I walk my dog every day past it. And, you know, I often pause and look at the diagram and then look at what's coming up in front of my eyes. And we are genuinely very excited about it.
Hmm. And remind me then, when is it due to be opened?
So doors will open in September 2025. So mm-hmm. we're due to get it handed over to us a few months before that, so we can fit it all out and get it all shipshape and ready to go.
Michael, why did you feel it was important, just to jump back to the ensuite bathrooms for a second, why did you feel it's important to do that? Because, I'm just thinking that clearly you could get more rooms in if you didn't take that approach, or maybe have a smaller building if you didn't take that approach.
As I say, we wanted to do boarding differently, and we felt that was a key point. We want to ensure that our young people have privacy. We think that's important. And they will have community, because they will be living in that building, and they'll be having breakfast and supper there. And there will also be lots of social and community spaces within the boarding house. But we wanted them to have privacy as well. You know, we live in a busy world. We are a very busy school. We're a society and a world of extroverts, introverts and ambiverts, and we've got to cater for all of those. And we recognise that actually at the end of a busy day, what a lot of young people want to do is have some quiet time and some space to themselves, and this will allow us to do that.
And then the children, the boys and girls coming together to eat together, tell me a bit more about how that's going to look.
Yep, so it'll be a very modern, state-of-the-art sort of cafe, restaurant, and the two houses on the first floor, second floor, the dividing line between the boys and girls houses will be secure, but then on mm-hmm. the ground floor there will be access for the girls and the boys from each end of the building to access the central area, which is where the boys and girls have their own social space in their own houses, but then in the middle where the cafe is, there is also a communal social space that they can, that's where they'll have their breakfast and their supper. But we can also turn part of that into, for example, a little pop-up cinema where they can come and watch a movie together. So there'll be opportunities to be together and to be separate. And again, that's been built into the whole structure, this idea of flexibility. So, for example, our ideal is to have 60 boys, 60 girls. But if mm-hmm. we had 70 girls and 50 boys, we can actually change where the dividing line is between the boys and the girls' accommodation.
Yeah. Oh, very
clever. Flexible in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when parents often think about their teenage children, they often imagine that they're always on their phones, that their heads are kind of angled downwards while they're staring down at their devices and not really getting on with other children. Do you see much of that going on in the boarding house? I'm thinking about when people are eating and that kind of thing.
So when people are eating, they're not allowed to be on their phones, and we think that's important. And it's not just told to them, you must not be on your phones. We talk to them and we explain to them why, because it's important to our school values are virtue, learning and manners. And first and foremost, you know, it's not polite to be on your phone when you're eating a meal with other people around you. So we explain that, and we talk to the students, and they understand that. We're not draconian. We do recognize, and I'd be a hypocrite if I said, you know, they should never be on their phones in their downtime, because, you know, I am. as I'm sure a lot of us are, you know, within reason and within moderation. So we allow them a degree of freedom, you know, with freedom comes responsibility. So they've got to use their devices responsibly. So there are certain times when they absolutely shouldn't be on their devices, and there are certain times when they're allowed to be. But obviously, we also monitor the fact that they're not staying on their devices and phones all night, you know, that they do switch off when it's time for bed.
Michael, tell us a little bit about the admissions process for boarding. How does that look? And, you know, what sort of questions do parents often ask when they're inquiring about things?
So we have a dedicated boarding recruitment manager. Brian Hayes, he works a few days a week for us, and his remit is exclusively boarding recruitment. And again, that personal touch, you know, we're a big school, but we want to make sure that parents and students feel that we are interested in and care for them as individuals. So there is a dedicated boarding recruitment manager who works as part of the admissions team. Brian would be the first person that they would speak to, and he would give them as much information as they want, answer all their questions. The kind of questions they ask, clearly it's a big decision for a parent to send their child, in some cases more than halfway around the world, to study in a place that they may never have been to. So they ask questions about the pastoral care, our focus on student well-being. They ask about the routines and the accommodation and how their child is going to be looked after. And then they ask about the questions that all parents ask about the academic stretch and challenge that we offer, the breadth of our program, and they ask about the co-curricular, because to go back to your question about young people being on phones and devices all the time, well, the best way to prevent that is to make sure that they're positively engaged in so many other things that they could be doing when they're here. And that's our general approach, really, is that, you know, children and young people who are busy and happily engaged in lots of healthy, positive things, quite frankly, haven't got time to be on their phones hunched over them all night because they're too busy doing things.
Oh, I love that. An environment where they haven't got time to be on their phones. That sounds perfect. One of the things you mentioned earlier was a pop-up cinema, I think you said. I must ask you, I'm a great movie lover. What was the last good film that you saw?
Oh, that was undoubtedly the film called One Life, which is a story of Nicholas Winton, who you may remember was the man who was featured, I think you're about a similar age to me, a little bit younger maybe, Simon, but was featured on the programme That's Life, when he was surrounded, unbeknown to him, with children who he had saved from the Holocaust by helping to get them to the UK, you know, out of the clutches of the Nazis in the 1930s. So it was an incredibly powerful film, and I'm a history teacher as well, and it's obviously a very dark chapter in human history, but with some amazing bright spots, of which that was one. And so that's One Life, definitely a recommendation.
Okay, well, that's certainly really good to hear. And also on this podcast recording, twice you've mentioned dogs. You mentioned the well-being dogs right at the start, and you also mentioned that you walk your own dog every morning. I must ask, what dog do you have?
So George, he is a well-being dog as well, so he doubles up. So I think pretty much at one point or another, all of my family have worked for Brentwood, and George is one of them. So George is a Cavapoochon, and most people, when you say that, say, what's that? And so a Cavapoochon is a cross between his dad was a toy poodle, and his mum was a Cavachon. And a Cavachon is a cross between a King Charles Cavalier and a Bichon Frise. So he's a very cute little fella. He's 5 years old, and he's one of about five or six well-being dogs who each come in for a day and dole out some well-being.
Very good. Michael, last question: if anyone's been listening to this and they've got any questions and they wanted to get in touch with the school, should it be Brian, should it be someone else, what should they do?
So our admissions team work as a very close-knit unit, and the details are all on the website. If it's boarding, that will probably go straight through to Brian. If it's day, that will probably go through to one of our other fantastic team, whether that's Debbie Cook, our admissions manager, or Julie Keelock, who is the assistant. They will get it to the right person as quickly as possible, and they give an excellent service to parents.
And as always, the website's there for lots more information as well, I presume. Michael, it's been great talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time. I should release you to get back to your working day. I know that you're busy, but thank you for being here. It's been really good talking to you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Simon.
That's it for this episode, and thank you for listening. To find out more, check out the school website, brentwoodschool.co.uk. Now, our next episode is coming out soon. So in the meantime, don't forget to follow or subscribe so you can stay in touch. and we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.